Adam Curry, John C. Dvorak.
Time again for the team unofficially known as the G2, fighting disinformation and lunacy all across Gitmo Nation.
This is No Agenda.
From the Crackpot Command Center, burrowed in the southwest quadrant of Gitmo Nation East, I'm Adam Curry.
And from the Silicon Valley North, and why am I shouting, I'm asking the other guy, I'm John C. Dvorak.
It's Crackpot and Buzzkill in the morning.
Excellent. We did a good one.
That was, well, you know, once in a while you can hit the thing.
That was one of the better ones.
Yeah.
Hey, John.
Actually, you know, that one of that first time you thought that we blew it, I listened to that. It was one of the better ones, too, early on a couple weeks ago.
It's beauty is in the eye of the beholder, as always.
Well, yeah, it depends on what you're looking for.
Ah, boy, it was.
I was reminded, listening to you go on and on, I'm reminded of the old, you know, why am I shouting Dana Carvey bit?
Yeah, the puking news guy. I'm Shep Smith, everybody. How you doing? Oh, wait a minute. I got to turn my control panel on.
In the morning.
It's on.
There you go.
Yeah. That was kind of weird waiting for you. First of all, we moved our clocks. We sprung ahead last night or early this morning, so we're now back to the 8-hour time difference between Gitmo Nation East and Gitmo Nation West, which is a shame.
Wait a minute, I thought it was spring back, fall forward.
No, it's fall back, spring forward. That would make no sense if it was spring back. You spring forward and you fall back.
You spring back. Hey, no. The guy sprung back.
No, you spring forward.
Well, why would they come up with this crazy thing? Because it's very confusing. You can spring back, you can spring forward, you can fall back, you can fall forward.
But it's...
So how did they say, oh, you spring back and fall forward, you fall back and spring forward? The whole thing never makes any sense to me. I always have to look it up.
And now, back to real news.
It's spring forward, fall back.
That's what you say.
Yeah, that's what she said. Oh, wow. I got to play you. I only have one or two sound clips since
we do apologize to you people out there who got sick of our sound clips.
Yeah, people did get kind of sick of that.
We'll just keep it to a couple, maybe. We don't even need to do them.
Well, there is a very funny one. I think it was State Senate. Listen to this interlude between, I'm sure you must have blogged this now that I think about it. Hold on, load it up. I hadn't actually planned on playing this. This is between Senate Budget Chairman Kent Conrad. I don't know if you know who he is.
No.
And Senator Chuck Grassley. And
it's going to be a major item that we're dealing with. And I'd like to suggest to the chairman that he might want to support this, because you remember you asked me 2 years ago not to take a vote on it. And you said that if we did take a vote on it, you might not get your budget resolution adopted. And so I did not ask for a vote on it. And you said it was a very statesmanlike thing.
So this is Grassley, right?
To do at that particular time. And so I would hope you would return the favor.
Check it out.
You know, and I used to like you. Let me just say... Oh, you are good.
Well, your wife said the same thing.
I love that. Your wife said the same thing.
What are they doing, shtick?
They're doing stand-up in the Senate.
Your wife said the same thing.
I mean, that's funny. That's the kind of humor we need a lot more of.
Your wife said... Yeah, that's pretty good.
Oh, hold on a second, John. For some
sound like a bunch of drunks, these guys.
For some reason, we were off. Oh, hold on. What's going on? Why is the stream? What the hell is that? Logging in. Oh, man. Anyway, keep going while with that.
Did our stream miss that great material?
They're going to have to listen to the... Oh, horrors. They're going to have to listen to the podcast.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
So you're going to get the stream back up. The stream, you know, it's like... I think it's interesting that... I ran into a guy the other day who, you know, saw me roaming around town. And he said that he listens to the show religiously on the stream.
Yeah. Who is the, is this guy, a guy I know, or is this just the stream is back up, by the way?
Just a miscellaneous fan.
Well, let me tell you what I feel is happening. So you have noagendastream.com, and we used to only turn it on when we did the show. Oh, there is something going wrong with it. I don't know. Anyway, people are just going to have to... it's a bummer, because what happens is, now that the stream is up 24/7, or it used to be up until we actually started today's episode,
show.
It was up 24/7. It's not just a playlist of songs. I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on. There's when you Twitter into No Agenda Stream, then it reads back those tweets. We've got real news headlines coming through that are it's auto generated by by a computer, but it's news coming through Twitter, which is what I like about it, because Twitter is turning out to be this amazing news source. And and I was even programming some stuff in yesterday with the G20 protest, which, of course, the G20 doesn't kick off until April 1st and 2nd here in London, or the city of London, I should say. This idea of hashtag tracking. So I have a beautiful customized version now. In fact, you can emulate that. I don't know if you've seen Twitter fall, John. Have you heard of this?
No. I'm very shallow in it. I mean, I use Twitter. I have a lot of people to follow me. I'm not into all the yet. I might eventually into all these ancillary little gizmo-like programs.
So what's cool about Twitterfall is you put in some keywords that you want to track, and it just gives you a scrolling list, and you can determine how fast you want the list to scroll, and you can do some, it's basically a filter of the entire Twitter... I hate saying it, but the entire Twitter sphere. And it has so much mass at this point that I was able to follow four different groups yesterday through London, some of it with pictures, with GPS locations, because you can also broadcast that through Twitter as a part of the metadata with each tweet that you send. So it was fascinating following the news, and all that was on BBC and Sky, who did have some on-location reports, with like the same incessant over and over, the same helicopter view shot. You know, there was nothing really new or fresh or accurate or current about it. And using the stuff that I've hacked up personally here at home to track it, it was beautiful. It's a very, very interesting, I would have to say, news medium. It's coming really close to being that, and it's all in the interface. You know, while people are using it to keep track of Demi Moore and Ashton Kutcher, it's equally as interesting to track what people are saying around the world who have grabbed onto this meme of using tags to tag their information. I'm loving it. I really am. It's I was late to this party, but boy, I'm trying to grab it with both hands.
Well, you were actually early to the party, but then you kind of slacked off.
Well, I didn't do anything to... It wasn't about the following.
You didn't do it.
Yeah, right. I just wanted to figure out what the hell was going on.
Seems to me to be what... You have people like Dan Gilmer and all these other...
Steve Gilmer.
There's a lot of people that are just perfect. They're pundits. They sit around punditizing.
Right.
And they never actually... they never accomplish much, but they make these, assertions. And there was this thing a couple of years ago about citizen journalism, and then everybody who... what they did was they took the idea of citizen journalism and then put it back on the... But the problem they make is they always put it back on an old model. So they figured citizen journalists are going to go online, start blogs, and they're going to, solicit stuff. And it was just old. It was just like essentially kind of the newspaper model that wasn't going to work. In other words, you're going to be out there writing for free. Nobody considered this, what you're describing, as what citizen journalism actually becomes, which is
exactly
a completely new system where, in other words, there's no stories. The
right
problem with citizen journalism is, the citizens out there are going to go out and write stories. And stories, of course, are something that go into newspapers. So everything is like seen as some old, you take the old model and then you pull one element out and throw in some new idea. It doesn't do that. It comes and becomes its own thing.
Exactly.
And you can't predict it. Who knew?
No, precisely. And it's because of the critical mass based upon the celebrity hype that everyone's on this thing. And thank God, it's the beauty of 140 character limit. It just makes it beautiful. So you can parse this thing. And I'm building parsers, controls that, you know, if something comes in, I'm really into it, but not for the, hey, you know, well, actually part of the beauty is that people are saying, hey, I'm walking here. I see some people protesting. That's a raw data point that put together can create a beautiful story.
It's beautiful. So, beat it up, because you know everybody moans about, you know, I do the Leo show, and they talk about Twitter incessantly.
In a different way. They're talking about it as the broadcast communication medium, who has more followers, which is a very valid conversation. But something happened, and I have to give Dave Weiner props for this, because he sees it. I read his blog, scripting.com. Even though we don't really see eye to eye and have
it's scripting some history. News.
Yeah, but scripting.com is the website.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah.
I don't know.
So it's scripting news is the name of it.
You don't see eye to eye. Nobody does.
Well, it's really a shame, you know, because I'm a dick and he's an idiot. You know, we can't really get together, right? You know, I'm a horrible person and he's mentally insane. You know, that's the way we categorize each other. It's too bad, because the combination, yeah, we have come up with some good stuff.
Put the two of you together, we'd have a small A-bomb blast.
Yeah.
Holy crap, what is that mushroom cloud over there over Oakland?
Tesla will be nothing compared to us. just staying on the G20 for a moment, because the protest did indeed start pretty much a week before anything takes place, and the G20 summit will be taking place in the city of London.
Well, explain it. You know, a lot of people out there don't know what the G20
is.
What the city is?
Well, yeah, I'm glad you asked. The city of London is kind of like the Vatican. It is its own entity. It has its own mayor, has its own police force, its own fire brigade,
own laws,
and it has its own laws, indeed. So, you know, you want to be
It's a little city within what we think of as London. Americans see, oh, London, I'm coming to London. It's a big, giant town. But the city of London is a little enclave within the larger London sphere.
Yeah. And so you got to be very careful what you do there, because, you know, it's basically their own private police force. And they look kind of like regular.
They look different, too, yeah.
They do look a little different. So people are...
What is the point of the city of London?
Oh, well, it being the financial capital of, well, so, they would like to think the world, and I would have to say after the after all the regulation for, you know, the IPO market definitely moved to the UK after, what's your favorite regulation?
Sarbanes-Oxley.
After Sarbox.
Like a big echoing thing when I say that.
Try it again. Hold on a second. Yeah, I'm ready. Go ahead.
Sarbanes-Oxley.
I don't have enough hands to control everything that is necessary for this show. We have some new jingles, by the way, from the fabulous Jeff Smith, who donates to the show in his own way, and I think it's a fantastic contribution.
Don't look over here. There's nothing to see here.
Ooh, look at that.
A couple more, which I'll get to during the show. So anyway, the point of that, of course, is to have complete control over the financial industry with its own rules, its own regulations. And, there, you know, there's the equivalent kind of a gate around this thing.
You know, this would be like in New York City having another town within Manhattan.
Having Wall Street being its own town.
Wall Street.
Yeah.
Its own town with its own police and its own, you know, you can, you know, that kind of thing.
Exactly.
We don't do that here in the USA.
Well, the fractal is, of course, coming now that we know that the Freedom Tower has been renamed to One World Tower.
You're kidding me.
Could it get any more obvious?
How did I miss that?
Well, it's real news, John. I mean, why would anyone actually want to learn about that? No, this was a news story that was carried fairly widely. Freedom Tower
is a new tower they're going to build where the Twin Towers were blowed up.
Yes.
Because I guess the address is One World Trade Center is the address.
Yes.
But they're calling it One World Tower.
One. I mean, you can't get more blatant than that. You know what I'm saying?
That's pretty good. Yeah, I like it.
It's like, and you know that there's a group of guys going, look at what we did now.
No, I know there is.
Of course.
I've been in those groups.
Uh-huh. Sure you have.
Well, not that group.
Oh, okay. You are.
But groups that have a similar kind of a sick sense of humor.
But what kind of struck me about these... So back to the City of London, these protests. So what's happening is we have the G20. It's the 20 biggest economies of the world, and two others. The Netherlands is joining well, of course, because they are the Bilderberg founders, so they're always allowed in. But it's... And I forget who else. There's one other country that's allowed in. And at this meeting... You know, we don't really know what's going to be discussed. Of course, a lot of talk now about the global currency. Gee, where have I heard that one before? Lots of talk about the low carbon economy, etc. So people were out there protesting. And as I was following this on in my Twitter news system, you know, the main meme, which I believe was organized by the unions who were responsible for some of the march yesterday, was... jobs, justice, and climate. And the dichotomy of people protesting for climate change regulation to the G20 just twists my mind in unbelievable knots. This is exactly what they want you to do. They want you to buy into it.
Obviously, the protesters have been co-opted.
Yes. And I believe this is what I could tell from the unions. Oh, but the Guardian. Oh man, they were broadcasting live, streaming live,
oh, yeah, well,
live reports. Oh, geez. So
they're the worst.
So you know, so along with this came something very dangerous that I want to talk to you about, because you can always put my brain jumble into perspective, help me straighten things out. So yes, I'm admitting it. So for the past couple days, flyers were being handed out, news reports saying, if you work in the City of London, if you are in the banking or financial services industry, dress down because you don't want to be attacked. Okay? And even the Financial Times, the front page today, this is the weekend edition, has a picture of a guy in a black, like a funeral undertaker's hat with a sign around his neck that says, eat the bankers. And the headline is, rage against the banking machine. Very hip, by the way. How public anger spread around the world. This fractal is spreading everywhere, John. In the Netherlands, they had a crisis meeting until 1 a.m, televised, about two bankers who received bonuses leaving the bank that, of course, was one of the bailed out banks. So it's a fractal of this. We're really angry at the bankers. Now, here's what I wanted to get to with you. And it's been on my mind for 48 hours straight. I'm sure you've heard the saying where, and it probably stems from the Second World War. First they came for the gypsies and I didn't say anything. Then they came for the black people and I didn't say anything. Then they came for the Jews and I didn't say anything.
Then they came for me.
And then they came for me and no one was left.
Right.
The fact, and we kind of glossed over it on the last show, but the fact that our U.S. representatives, who work for us, supposedly, have started to use the Internal Revenue Service as a weapon against people, against citizens, as a punitive measure. So I'm talking about a bill that passed the Senate immediately, or the House immediately, to tax people making over $250,000 who receive money, bonus money, from bailed out institutions, to tax them at a 90% rate. It took me a while to parse, because of course internally I'm going, ha 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 ha, but then I'm saying, holy crap, who the fuck is next? I have been assaulted by the IRS. I've been assaulted by by multiple tax institutions. They wear guns when they come into your office. They are, in my eyes, a terrorist organization who claim people to be guilty and you have to prove your innocence, which is exactly the opposite of how it's supposed to work. And they sentence you while you're proving your innocence with all kinds of sanctions and penalties. Should we not be very careful? Is not something happening here where a group of people, in this case not based upon heritage, creed, or religion, but based upon occupation, are being vilified and singled out and discriminated against? Should we not be incredibly careful about this, John?
Well, if it wasn't for the fact that they're bankers,
Yeah, but so replace the word bankers. Replace
there.
No. Replace the word bankers with okay, Jews. So it's the same okay. thing. It's
yeah,
the same
yeah,
thing. This is what happened
yeah.
in Weimar.
Yeah. The guys like you all worked up. The point is what's really going on here is that they've created a smoke screen for our bankers with this night. You say, like, okay, the public's irked, and in the European countries, there are actually people going out, and I understand this happened in England, and finding some of these
ruining cars, homes, throwing
keying their Mercedes
Kristallnacht type stuff, breaking windows, yes,
throwing a brick through the wall, but here we don't really like that kind of thing. So what we have to do is assuage the public. So let's assuage the public by putting through some law that is obviously illegal and is never going to fly, because what happens when you do this kind of thing and it actually works and the courts don't say, hey, you can't do this, which is what's going to happen, by the way, with this.
Okay, that's your prediction. We'll see.
That's not going to happen. It's impossible. For one thing, it's completely illegal. And secondly, everybody knows that there's two things that aren't going to happen. This is one of them. They put this thing out. Oh, we're going to charge and we're going to get all our money back because we're putting a law through that's going to be 90%. Everybody knows this law is unconstitutional. And the fact of the matter is that everybody realizes, although only a few people have expressed this, you being one of them and Rush Limbaugh, doppelganger being the other one.
Much prettier.
Realizes, well, or a triple ganger in his case. So everybody realizes, you know, that what's really going, or the powers that be know that is set up like this. This will calm the public down. Okay, the bonuses will come back. In fact, you know, Chris Dodd was the one who pushed the bonuses.
Yep. In fact, it turns out, John, I also found out it's more like $400 million, not 180. Just
whatever
FYI.
It is. It's just, you know, essentially it's a redefinition of salary.
Yeah.
Because what happened was they said we could, you know, because we're going to do this TARP thing, you know, the salaries are going to be capped. Well, what are we going to do to get around the caps? Chris Dodd comes along and says, well, here's what we'll do. Well, let's just redefine everything as a bonus. And so people will work on a certain basis and then they get a bonus instead of a salary. And so then you still get your $1.5 million or $2 million or whatever it is you get. Okay, so that goes through. Then the public finds out about it. He says, oh, let's kill all the bankers. And so, oh, God, what are we going to do now? So, okay, I got an idea. Let's put this law together. It's going to tax these guys for all their money. It'll never get collected, ever. We won't collect a dime of it. Because, of course, if we actually could, then we could tax the Catholic Church out of business, or we could tax some guy who voted against us out of business, or we could tax the city of San Francisco out of business, or we could just target anybody we wanted and just tax them.
Tax
out of
the gays. There's the new slogan.
Tax the gays. So the point is that this thing is just a red herring. It's a distraction.
In other words,
distraction than the real distraction.
Don't look over here.
Nothing to see here.
Ooh, look at that.
That's it, right?
Exactly.
But okay, so my point is, so you've almost confirmed my point that was not the hatred of the Jews, although different in Weimar Germany. Was that not also a distraction so people could focus on that while the real terror was taking place behind the scenes?
Right, but of course, in the meantime, they decided to put these camps up because I guess a few guys took it seriously.
Well, this is obviously the danger when a few guys take it seriously.
Yeah, no, because there's a lot of dummies out there.
So I actually...
I'm sure that...
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, I'm just going to say, I mean, just like the IRS thing, I mean, there's a few of those guys out there that are just, they're just bureaucrats that take things seriously. I mean, this is like, you see more and more of this. You're seeing it in police departments. You're seeing it all over the place because we haven't had any situations where, you know, people don't get to work for a living anymore, especially kids. They don't get to, when they're in high school, they don't get to work at a factory.
Oh, well, that's about to change, John.
Yeah, they don't get paper routes. They don't get to do any. I mean, if you go to these towns during the summertime, there's nothing but kids roaming around, and you ask any of them, why don't you get a job? I mean, it's not like you say it that way, but you've talked to them.
Yes, you do. Get off my lawn, kids. Why don't you go get a job?
Curiously, I don't have a lawn. So but I wrote a column about this some years ago, bitching about all the kids I saw in this little town in Washington, and then I got a bunch of letters from these same kids that said, look, we'd get a job if we could. There's nothing going on. I don't want to, you know, the only thing is minimum wage working at, you know, some, and you can't even get those jobs because there's not that many of them. The point is that you never got enough work experience as a young person to learn the ropes about, you know, what you take seriously, when you go by the book and when you don't. but all these kinds of things that you're supposed to know, which is, no, you know, yeah, there, I see the rule there, but I'm not going to follow. That is stupid. And, you know, there's a, and it's the old story you see in a lot of old movies from the 40s and 50s where the, where you got the guy who's the a-hole is the guy who goes by the book. Every single thing that's in that law, you follow it to the letter. That's the way it's done. We used to have a postal guy here in the town I live in, and it's like, and it was a small post office with one guy in it, him. And he was obviously some ex go by the book, you know, low level clerk type. I would go in
kind.
There to pick up stuff that was left at the post office for 20 years. He knew who I was, and every time, your ID, sir.
ID. Ausweis bitte.
Your ID, sir. Your ID, sir. You know, okay, yeah, here, see? Now, maybe you can recognize me next time I come in. And it was like, your ID, sir. Anyway, the post office is always a dud. They finally took him, fired, or got, he retired for God knows what. And then they put in some efficient, you know, people. And the thing is, the post office really is really great now. I mean, everyone's they're fast and efficient. This guy was always real slow.
Well, they're going to be...
That experience thing where you learn where you go by the book. Where you, so we're turning into the whole world's turning into a bunch of bureaucratic numbnuts who don't know, you know, and you, that's how you get into that situation. I mean, let's face it, the German mess during World War II took place after almost a decade of nobody working, and you had a bunch of people coming up, you know, without any experience, and they, you know, went
all
by
right.
the book.
All I mean, right, so
this is bull.
Right, but what is happening now with the... House Resolution 1388, the so-called GIVE Act, as we talked about on the last show, mandatory volunteerism is going to be...
Which is another interesting violation of the 13th Amendment for slavery.
So,
don't you think it's weird that the first black president we have reinstituted
slavery?
What the deal is that?
Don't look over here.
Nothing to see here.
Ooh, look at that.
And it's, but here's what's amazing, John. So what this act would do, and this actually the GIVE Act reauthorizes the National and Community Service Act of 1990. They've been trying this for a while, apparently, and the Domestic Volunteer Act of 1973 would make any American, I believe, between the ages of 18 and 25, it would be compulsory for community service, and this includes, special zones where you wear your uniform and it's a special type of school. But what's interesting is that I mentioned this to Patricia. Now, she has a whole different background and, you know, she comes from the original Gitmo Nation in old Europe. And I said, you know, so what would you think? You know, this is crazy. And how would you feel if, because of course, you know, Christina may be living here, but if she's between 18 and 25, I'm sure they'll have a zone here and she'll have to go on Saturdays or Sundays and wear her little uniform. And
armband, don't forget.
And armband.
I'll bet you there's going to be armbands.
But Patricia said, you know, hey, that's not a bad idea. It'd be good for these kids, you know? And I'm like, yeah, the idea of, you know, and this is my life. I said, well, yeah, I gave up on it, really. I didn't argue with it. I just took it as important information. Because this is how people get tricked into these things. But before you know it, you literally have the brown shirts operating. And there's commercials all over the radio. I just heard one this morning on Classic FM, which Patricia always has upstairs. Typical. They're targeting the right people. If you see something suspicious, report it. And literally, if you see someone looking at CCTV cameras, you should report them. You know, it's like we're turning
in. Wait, hold on a second. Let's stop right there. If they're looking at the camera's looking at them, why do you need to report them? The camera sees them and they can report them themselves. Let them do their own job.
Well, thank you for injecting some logic into the conversation. But obviously, it's because there is a need to create some form of police state where we're going to see that in
so
the States.
Everybody's suspicious of each other.
Yes, our domestic.
You know, one time I don't know, about 2 or 3 years ago. I'd like to, as everyone knows who listens to me at all, knows I usually have a camera or two with me. And I'm taking pictures of everything. I'm just kind of a photography junkie. It's like an addiction. So I'm shooting. So I documented the entire trip from, and I, you know, and so it was one of these things. I do this all the time, by the way. I've documented a number of these things. I document, like, how do you get from Manhattan to JFK using the Long Island Expressway plus that crazy little free, it costs it's some sort of a shuttle that goes from
the Jitney, whatever it's called.
No, it's I can't remember the name of it, but for some reason. But anyways, no, it's really a modern sub. It's like a elevated train that goes from one of the stations. I'll think of the name of it in a second. To JFK and drops you right off at Terminal 6. Anyway, so I documented the whole process, because the toughest part of the process is actually getting onto the right train on the Long Island Railway out of Penn Station, because you have to go down an extra level and you can't find the tickets, and it's very poorly done, to be honest about it. But it's a cheap way to get back to the airport, and it's faster than the cab by a lot, and you get a nice little train ride out of it. Anyway, so I'm taking pictures of the whole process, and some woman who happened to be Indian, from India, I've taken some pictures. She, oh, you know, you can't take pictures. She just out of the blue, this woman, she's not like a cop.
She said you can't take pictures?
Yeah. She's like telling me I can't take pictures.
Wait, John. This is wrong. Do the accent, man.
No, I'm not.
Hello?
She actually didn't have a real strong accent, so it wasn't like...
You should not be picture taking right now.
No, you're not going to be taking a picture. So anyway, she told me not to take pictures, and I looked at her like she was crazy, and I said, I didn't even say anything back to her.
The only response is, you should not be polluting the earth with your carbon dioxide. Shut your trap.
Yeah, well... Anyway, but I was just stunned by some, citizen, but again, from a cultural of repression, generally, not as bad as, the Europeans, telling me what to do.
And by the way, on the chat room at noagendadrop.com, people are wondering who they is, and the answer is Kurt Loder. Just so you know. You don't know who Kurt Loder is, do you?
No.
Oh, that's too bad. That's that old guy on MTV who used to write for Rolling Stone magazine.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, I know who it is. It's funny. He's the guy. But anyway,
train, woman, picture.
Yeah,
don't take.
I got the whole thing documented, but I'm stuttering and stammering because I've just
because
almost
you were outraged. You were outraged by it.
No, I was actually stuttering and stammering because I was almost remembering the name of the station that you get off on the.
Is it in Manhattan? The station?
No. It's out on the. You take the Long Island Expressway out to Long Island, and you get on the. Oh man, I can almost think of it. Damn it,
Schenectady.
Maybe somebody on Twitter can. No, it's not.
I just want to pull out.
Throwing out words, Poughkeepsie.
Poughkeepsie. Those are my favorite words. Schenectady, Poughkeepsie.
Yeah, you get off in Aurora. I mean,
anyway, there's tons of links, or there will be tons of links in the show notes today at noagenda.mevio.com. I've collected a number about this Give Act, which is, as you say, it's unconstitutional. It's crazy, and it's a total indoctrination of, well, it's a Gitmo Nation, of course. Can I, because we kind of got off the G20 thing, I just wanted to share something with the audience, which you can take for whatever advice you want it to be. I had coffee earlier this week with Andrew Horowitz and his son.
Oh, that's right. By the way, before we go into that, it's the Jamaica station, and then you get on the air train to JFK from there. Okay, go ahead.
In case you're traveling to the Isle of Manhattan.
So, by the way, it is the way to go.
Oh, much better. Don't take a cab.
Never take that.
This
is faster, and it's a train that the Long Island Railroad goes to Penn Station, and it runs about every 10 minutes. I mean, it's just amazing.
It's like the Gatwick Express and the Heathrow Express. If you want to get into London, hop that train. 17 minutes, and you're in London.
Right, and it's cheaper, a lot cheaper.
So we touched on, and I went back to read the site because I didn't realize. And I'm just kind of replaying some of the conversation I had with Andrew Horowitz, the disciplined investor. You do a show with him, which is the DH something?
DH Unplugged.
DH Unplugged. Exactly. So this, what was the name of that site? Of course, now I can't find it momentarily. Financialstability.gov. So financialstability.gov, which is basically an outline of a site. It's a HTML page with a couple of links. But it has a link to a very important PDF file, and that is this private-public investment plan that Secretary Geithner has proposed to fix this whole mess. And there's a couple of good YouTube videos explaining it. I left those in the show notes as well. But just let me explain very briefly and how we're going to be and how this is basically the big dagger in the back that we've all been waiting for. So the idea is new entities will be created, new companies who will buy the who will bid on and buy the toxic assets from these banks. So AIG would be a big one. And so they'll create a market price, which will not be 100 cents to the dollar, obviously. It'll be less. But they only have to come up with 86. They only have to come up with 14% of the money to, that they bid for these assets. In fact, less, only 7%, because you come up with, let's just say, $100. You come up with $7. The Federal Reserve will match your $7, and the Treasury... just like the Fed, by the way, but the Treasury, which is our money, taxpayer money, will guarantee the remaining $86. So these, so again, toxic assets will be purchased by new companies who have raised at least for every $100, $7 themselves. The Federal Reserve, which also, of course, will create this money off of our back, but that doesn't matter. It's for the upside. And so they put in $7. The rest is guaranteed by the taxpayer. So here's the loophole, and Horowitz confirmed this with me. Watch for executives leaving these big companies right now, and it's happening. A couple left, I think, Citibank, a couple left Bank of America. You'll see more and more leaving. And where are they going? They're going toward new funds that create, you know, pursuing outside interests, whatever the bullshit line is. They're basically going to create these new companies, and they're and using money from their old corporate entities, which if that's easy, you know, you can, because those guys lend money all the time, just not to you and I. They'll lend it to this new company. They then bid on the assets and say, oh, well, we don't think that's worth 30 cents of the dollar. We think that's worth, wow, that's at least 80 cents of the dollar. That's really good stuff. You know, we can get that. So they put up the $7, which they basically borrowed from their old company. The Fed matches that $7, and the rest comes in from the Treasury, effectively taking the 100% exposure of those toxic assets and transferring it to a new place where no one gives a shit.
Mm.
And it's and of course those assets are toxic. They will bust, exposing the American taxpayer to an estimated $2 trillion. Of course, you know, I think it's much, much higher, but it's an estimated $2 trillion exposure. And the FDIC will be the ones overseeing these new entities. Well, I give up. I give up. So, and you can read
and
it.
You should give up. This is just to beat you down.
Well, the thing is, and you know, as you said, nothing to see here. Please move on. Everyone's focused on these bonuses. Kill the bankers, eat the bankers. But at the same time, the true theft is happening. Almost, I mean, it's spelled out, even with these numbers, with like the $7 and the $86. Geithner's plan is written for kindergartners. You can understand this. Link in the show notes.
So, by the way, your links in the show notes are fantastic. You got
Thank
lots
you.
Of them. Way
Thank
too
you.
Many, but not too many.
Well,
in other words, it's like if you look at me, oh, my God. I mean, it's like a huge – it's almost like robot wisdom, that site this one guy has been doing for years.
Oh,
which is
yeah,
just a lot
mean.
Of really good links, and they're just lined up.
But they're categorized. You know, I mean, no, they're categorized. So,
well, they are categorized, so a little more than they probably need to be. I mean, it's just. I mean, I think people can go there and just click, 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 and really have a good time reading
stuff. Here are my categories. Gitmo Nation, climate change, aviation, hot category for today, financial crisis, economy, bailout bankers, Minnesota MILF, which we certainly have to talk about, health, shadow puppet theater, which I want to get to, and then, of course, everybody's favorite category.
And now, back to real news.
We have winners, John. We have winners.
What is the winner?
We have the winners of the 2009 Hottest Vegetarians.
Oh, do we?
Yes, let me send you the link.
Oh, send me the link.
Yep, hold on a second. It is Fiona. And you see, and I'm so glad she won. Because
you have links to these winners, right?
Yeah, yeah. Here it comes. I'm sending you the first one.
No, I mean you're gonna put it on the site.
Oh yeah,
too.
Of course. Yeah, of course. It's always in the show notes. So Fiona, I think this is the one. This is the one who was so weak she couldn't stand up.
Super babe. Oh, this is the one that couldn't.
She's look at her ribs, man. Her ribs are poking.
She's still down. Oh, she's like gonna die. She's got her ribs all over the place. This woman's got ribs coming out of her thighs.
Wait a minute. There's also one of the guys in the guy category.
It's not that hot. Well, she's kind of pretty in the one picture.
Yeah, in a I'm lying down state.
Well, she's got a nice figure. She looks okay.
No, she looks weak.
She does look weak.
And Ludwig won. He's from Sweden. He doesn't look very Swedish.
I don't think showing all those ribs is a positive thing.
I think it's a very bad thing, and I think it's bad because this is what young girls aspire to.
Yeah, and there's a big trend. I was getting my hair done, and when I do, you should be laughing. I need to get a haircut once in a while. Excuse me for living.
I got a visual. I'm sorry.
Well, when I'm there, I'm just sitting there reading the National Enquirer, which is one of the world's
biggest newspapers. Yeah, it is, of course.
And now back to real news.
So they're in the National Enquirer. There was all these articles, or there's a long article about all these actresses, and including the girl that's on the on 30 Rock, and
there's
a whole bunch of different celebrities that are all starving themselves to death so they can get as thin as possible.
Yeah.
And it's like a big trend in Hollywood right now, just to lose as much weight as you can so you're like thin as a rail.
Well, it's not like that's new, John. That's been around
for
a while.
No, I know it's not new, but it's like an interesting counter trend because there was this big thing recently, if you recall, we're going to ban skinny models from the runway and it's getting ridiculous. And, you know, every time they try to do that, it never works out. You end up with, you know, people, they still want to look skinny.
So I have, since my schedule
is... By the way, I went to this other link, this one here from PETA.org.uk.
Yes.
And they got the same picture of Fiona.
Yeah.
Only she's like pulling her pants off. What is that?
Well, because... It's kind of, you know how they promise the terrorists 72 virgins? So if you don't eat meat, you'll get this girl. That's kind of the message.
Yeah, more likely to get the guy.
He doesn't look very Swedish, does he?
He doesn't look, well, from Malmo, who knows? But there's the Swedes will think that's funny. So he looks like at least he eats.
Yeah, he does. He looks like he's probably on the juice too, man. He's probably doing steroids.
Looks, might be, could be.
Bovine
could
be steroids.
She's definitely not on roids.
No, and she needs to have some. She needs to eat some mash or something. she needs to eat some oatmeal at least. So I was very excited. We had another new chapter in transparency as the White House did its first online virtual town hall meeting. In fact, I harped about this on Mevio today, which is running throughout the weekend. Don't bother looking at it. I know you haven't seen it yet. And the way this worked...
You do it on the weekend?
Yeah.
Huh.
I work fucking... Excuse me. I'm trying not to swear because I'm hoping that we can get radio affiliates, so I'm trying to... By the way, if you want to distribute this show, fine. It doesn't matter. You can take it. You can copy it. You can put it on your own podcast stream. You can put it on your local radio station, your low power FM station. We're fine with that. It's
open source radio.
Open source
with John
radio.
And Adam.
That's right. Oh,
in the morning.
It's morning somewhere. So there were these questions, and then the final list of questions were the list of questions, and then people voted on the list of questions. So that the president then could address these, and they had some people. It didn't look a lot of the. It was all pre-screened basically, and stuff was set up in a certain way that it didn't have the kind of live feel to it like we have, where the stream cuts in and out and it's all crappy and shit. It was like professional. So there was one question. Well, there's one remark that the president made about halfway through, and I just want you might have heard it already, but I do want to share it because this is incredibly. Interesting to me. Here we go.
We took votes about which questions were going to be asked. And I think 3 million people voted or 3.5 million people voted. I have to say that there was one question that was voted on that ranked fairly high, and that was whether legalizing marijuana would improve the economy.
Wait for it.
And job creation. And I don't know what this says about the online audience.
So when I heard this, and you had to see him guffawing and laughing. First of all, the question was not just legal. It was the number one question in four categories, including health care for medicinal marijuana. But for the president, who was elected by an online audience, who raised millions of dollars in campaign contributions, apparently, supposedly, allegedly from the online audience, this is an absolute outrage for him to speak to the online audience as if they're a bunch of frickin' stoners who have nothing better to do with their time. Even starts off with, this question ranked high on the list. I can see they even wrote that. Let's slip that little joke in there.
Gag, yeah.
So, and by the way, you know, a third of our prisons in the United States are filled with marijuana drug criminals. You know, we could significantly reduce our prison population. There would be so much to do.
We'd probably save about $3 billion a year in that overhead, and probably another we could tax. You know, of course, there's a specious argument against taxing this, but you could tax this and pick up another number of billions of dollars in tax money, and you decriminalize the whole scene. It's not going to change the usage much, and...
Meanwhile,
and he's also promised
on the same day, John, another DEA bust in San Francisco of Emeline's California Cannabis Clinic on Howard Street. Another bust going on while he's laughing at people thinking about the audacity of wanting to legalize marijuana. But as I said before,
the audacity of dope.
As I said before, it will not happen because, first of all, the president knows. Let me finish it. I don't care what you say. Listen to me. Listen. Look. Let me be clear.
Look.
Because the real economy runs on drug money, and they need that money flowing through the economy, and they don't want our drugs, the drug of the people, the weed, which you can grow in your backyard, competing with the drug grown in Afghanistan, 90% of the world's opium trade coming from there, which our troops are there to defend. Anyway, so then Robert Gibbs, because this is where it gets interesting, the press secretary, he's asked this question, and his response is even more... insulting.
The online town meeting.
So this is a question from one of the reporters, you know, where they sit and Helen sits there.
This guy Gibbs sucks.
Well, it's beautiful to listen to him. Here we go.
When the president said he doesn't think legalizing marijuana would give the economy a boost, was he giving a political answer or an economic answer?
Great question. I mean, is that a great question or not?
Yeah, it's a great question.
Okay. This guy, by the way, I won't play the whole clip, but he comes back later and says, you know, you may be making a joke out of it, but it's a serious question. So here's the answer.
Does he have economic numbers to back that up?
I'm unaware of a CEA analysis regarding that.
So he's saying, I'm unaware of a, I guess it's Committee on Economic Analysis or whatever, CEA.
I don't know what it is.
Yeah. You know, no one's done any analysis on it.
I think...
Was he picking his nose?
Yeah.
And he goes...
I think you've heard the president talk about getting us on a path towards sustained economic growth. I don't think he believes that... that is part of that plan. I'd point you to the Justice Department on.
Oh, you mean the Justice Department who was raiding medical marijuana dispensaries?
Easy for you to say.
Yeah,
that's on that. The president asked people to ask their questions. Obviously, interests aligned with certain viewpoints. Did so.
Interests aligned with certain viewpoints.
You stoners.
I can't even listen to it anymore, but it's
of course not. But you know, by the way, there is Gibbs is the guy who remember there was where Obama had made some comment about you know, being a Special Olympics and assaulted a bunch of people, and then I guess there's a bowler out there who has like a 200 average who says there are reports
Olympian.
Had him. Yeah, but he's a really good bowler, and I actually used to bowl with guys who had various ailments that they would bowl really weird, but they would bowl these great games. It was amazing, and So I guess there's this bowler that has a pretty high average, and he challenged Obama to a game.
Right. Yeah.
I got that one. And it became a big issue. All the people wrote it up. And they brought it up at the press conference, and somebody asked him, is Obama going to do this, play the bowling game down in the White House? The White House has a bowling alley. In the White House bowling alley, and Gibbs says, no comment.
Well,
how do you say no comment to that?
Because he's a douche.
He's a total asshole. I've never read it. He's the worst guy ever.
He's an asshole.
In the morning.
Hell yeah. Well, the whole Special Olympics comment I was okay with, because I understood what he was saying. And can we just not get offended for a moment about stuff?
Yeah, no, I agree with
please.
That. But the fact that Gibbs would say no comment as though it was some sort of
that's offensive.
Secret.
Yeah, ooh.
By the way, the right-wing radio talk show guys have given Obama a moniker that is kind of catching on. It hasn't quite totally caught on, especially with the public. But they call him Giggles.
Huh. Giggles.
And President Giggles. And because he giggles a lot when he's on, he did all these talk shows, and he's
he
always
does giggle
giggling.
A bit. Yeah, that's true.
And so they're calling him Giggles. Hmm. And it's interesting because it keeps cropping up, and I think it could catch on.
Giggles. I don't like it personally.
Yeah, you wouldn't.
I don't think it's. Hey, we've got some speed happening up here in Gitmo Nation East as. There's a huge push for a couple things. One, of course, would be the European Union elections scheduled for June, as well as this important document that needs to be signed and ratified, the Lisbon Treaty.
Yeah.
Of course, one of the last countries, and all 26 member states have to sign on, the Czech Republic, since the president of the Czech Republic said, hey, you know, I don't like this. I don't think we should be signing this. There's too much power. We don't want this European army. This whole thing ushers in the climate change, which I don't believe in either. He said, I'm probably not going to ratify this. So they basically toppled the whole government around him.
Right. I love that. this is the Russians are watching this going, my God, is it that easy? Why did we send our troops in there years ago?
Yeah, they just send in the jackals and, you know, and they just pull that shit right from under him. So
that guy just said, pull the rug out from under. You're out, buddy.
And
I was a duly elected.
No,
get
out. So the fractal is apparent everywhere. The EU customers are going, and this is, and I'll get back to the elections in a moment. The EU customers will have smart energy meters in their future that will, and it says, and this is the EU Observer, which you need to read from time to time, EUObserver.com. We will indeed have smart meters. They will be mandatory. In fact, it will be a crime to not to have your smart meter installed. It will be a crime. So basically, now information from inside your house goes straight to the government. And it even says here, they've introduced provision to fight energy poverty when gas and electricity bills eat up so much of a user's income they cannot afford other basics. So the government will start to regulate all this for you and will help you turn on your lights at appropriate times and help you wash at appropriate times and maybe shut down your shit altogether at appropriate times.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be, we have a violator on meter section 106.2E1B. Please turn off that meter immediately.
So I've got, you've got to see some of these billboards for the EU election. I'm going to send you this link right now. It is too funny for words. So it is, once again, built for kindergartners. Graphical elements, here it is. For the and these links, of course, are all in the show notes. Just have a quick gander at this, John, just so you can see. So, and these are postcards that you can download, print out, and use yourself.
Yes, you might as well help them.
So, scroll down to the bottom. There's four postcards. There's a picture of a laptop on the left and a bottle of baby milk on the right. And then the
postcards
the text,
used for the campaign.
How should we help balance family and career? My favorite is, how much labeling do we need? Just look at the chicken with no labeling and then the chicken on the right with a million labels all over, which, of course, is what they're advocating. And then the far right one, what should cars run on? And you see on the left a jerry can of gas. Then in the middle you see a battery, like a AA battery. Yeah, run my car in a AA battery and I'm in.
That's what I want.
And then what's that thing on the right, like a bush of of
I have no idea. Oh, I guess Mira? It's some sort of something you grow and maybe make into alcohol. I have no idea.
But it's just amazing. Amazing.
It's just like for idiots.
At the same time, again, from oh, no, this is from Politiken.
What kind of energy do we have? A flame, we have a sun, we have the radiation symbol, and then a wind turbine.
So here's what they're doing to really garner a lot of support, not just for...
Wait, stop. All postcards in JPEG format, then they have them in all languages.
Oh, every language you want.
There's a French version,
yeah.
A German, Lithuanian, there's a Dutch, Polish, Portuguese, Romanian.
Isn't it beautiful?
Unbelievable.
So in order to get people to buy into more European Union, more global state... they are the Parliament, European Parliament, is voting now to hand out food to the poor. But, of course, you have to pledge your allegiance to the European Union before you can eat.
wait, say this again? You have to pledge your allegiance to the European Union before you can eat it?
Yeah. Yeah, you'll have
How does that work?
Well, you'll have to go to certain... Well, I mean, you don't really have to pledge.
You want this hot dog? Yeah, I'd love to have the hot dog.
You have to read the pamphlet.
Pledge your allegiance to the European Union.
You got to read the pamphlet first. And then you get your hot dog. Or your wiener and sauerkraut, as the situation may be.
Could be in Germany.
In the Netherlands, also these meters coming in. This will be the Netherlands is already in the process of implementing the black GPS box in the car, FYI. They're much further along. So it's all these fractals popping up all over the place. Now a German...
Lead foil, my friends. Lead foil. Buy it while you can.
So the German government had already said, hey, you know, let's get a bonus going for people who scrap, as in trash, their environmentally unfriendly cars. Now they're saying we're also going to hand out bonuses for scrapping old office furniture and coffee machines. It's totally out of control.
What have they got against coffee machines?
Well, they're unfriendly to the environment.
Because they stay on all the time and it keeps the coffee warm?
Probably. Hey, maybe the smart meters could just turn my coffee on in the morning and so make sure that my coffee is freshly brewed. I'm sure the government would be more than happy to do that for me.
Yeah, you know, they probably would use that as a selling point.
So reading through my Twitter fall of information throughout the weekend, and I follow Mrs. Kutcher. MRSKUTCHER. Mrs. Kutcher is Demi Moore on Twitter.
Oh, I thought it was Ashton.
Well, that's her husband.
Oh, no. So I thought he was Mrs. Kutcher.
No, he's...
Okay, go on.
Whatever he is. And all of a sudden, I start... You know, because you usually miss these tweets. You'll send a couple, whatever. And so they scroll by and don't pay attention. But then I see a lot of activity. And she's like, come on, let's do this, people. We can do this. I'm like, what? What are we going to... She's totally like... And she's like, yeah, we can do this. Let's all join in. Retweet this. This is Demi Moore, okay? One of the hottest actresses in the world. Good actress, too. It's for Earth Hour.
Oh, yeah, that was... Oh, damn, Earth Hour last is, night, and I missed it.
Isn't it today?
No, it was Saturday night. I'm sure it was.
I thought it was 8 p.m. tonight. Well, I missed it then. 8:30, yeah. Earth Hour, the idea is we're going to shut everything off for an hour.
Oh, that sucks because, you know, I wanted to look across the bridge and see if the San Francisco is going to be shut down and because I know they're going to turn off the Bay Bridge lights. Yeah, Earth Hour. I know.
Let me see. I have a link here. U.S. cities poised for Earth Hour Saturday night. Yeah, 1 hour. So we missed it. Yep. Damn. 8:30 p.m. to 9:30. And yeah, this is a feeble attempt. Not just feeble, it's an idiotic attempt to bring global awareness to demise, climate change, whatever it is. This is infuriating.
It was so feeble that I planned attention to it, and I couldn't even do it.
it's the weak leading the feeble. We can't even make that work.
I can't even – the simplest thing, I was going to go stand on the balcony and look at San Francisco and they didn't nap, nothing. I want to see the lights going off, you know, if they were. I don't know.
I want to apologize.
I need to put a camera up.
I want to apologize to everybody who's having problems with the stream. I have no idea what it is. The server
Some
is
guy says
out.
That your bitrate is wrong.
No, the bitrate is Let me just double check.
Adam needs to drop his upload.
No. It's 64 kilobits. Everything's the same. Nothing's changed. And I've noticed problems. It's the streaming server or whatever. You know, it's someone's bandwidth is hosed somewhere, and I'm sorry.
I tell you, now they're on to us.
No kidding. By the way, I want to ask certainly our UK listeners here in Gitmo Nation East. I noticed something weird, and I want to know if anyone else witnessed this. We had some form of either a spike, an electricity spike, or I'm thinking maybe a magnetic or solar wind or something happened. It screwed up just about every single electronic device in my house, most noticeably the digital Sky TV satellite box.
Was this at 9:30 last night?
No.
Well, you don't know.
No, it was Friday. It was
when
Friday.
Everybody threw the switches back on. It just no. Went, whoa.
No. It was not last night. It was 2 days ago.
Like, you know, there's deals where people all flush the toilet at once.
At one time, and it blows up the pipes. No, also, all of the Freeview televisions that we have, which are digital television recorders, free over the air.
They were locking in. They were putting those systems in place.
My printer reset itself to January 1st, you know, 1907.
That was a bug.
So a lot of it was really weird. I want to know if. I want to know if anyone else had similar problems. I just thought it very typical.
Adam, just you.
Just me. Is there after me again?
Well, hold on. Wait, I'm getting a message to get him off this topic. Okay.
I promised I wouldn't talk about it anymore, but I'm going to have to rescind since there's new information from the world of aviation. Of course, I'm referring to Flight 1549. Two pieces of information reached me, which kind of complete some of my theories. The first one is that, it kind of flows together. There's a photographer named Stephen Mallon, and Stephen took a series of pictures, which he actually planned to publish in a book, of the salvage operation of Flight 1549. His pictures were extremely good, mainly because they focus on the front of the aircraft as it's being lifted out of the water, in which, by the way, you can see there's absolutely no hull damage whatsoever, only damage to one engine's missing and one is clearly damaged, but no other damage at all, which is quite amazing to fly into a flock of birds and only have them hit your engine and nothing else, and they do dent aircraft. He was summoned by the insurance company to take these pictures down. At the same time, the insurance company said, you do not have the right to give those to the FAA, the Federal Aviation Administration. Guess which insurance company insured that aircraft, John?
Monsanto.
No, try AIG.
Yeah.
So
your sense of humor today really is lacking.
AIG.
Anyone who listens to the show knows that's funny.
It is funny. I liked it. But I didn't have a rim shot. I can give you a quick
one. In the morning.
Yeah.
Well.
On the heels of this, the Federal Aviation Administration does not want to release any data or information about bird strikes. How frequent they occur, why they occur.
Right.
And
yeah,
so I did a little bit of delving around. So there's one important thing you have to know. If you get a double bird strike, that is known, it is so rare, and in fact, I can't find another instance of that happening. It is known as an act of God. An act of God is a get out of jail free card for the insurance company.
Exactly.
So I'm thinking, John, knowing that there were Bank of America executives on board, I'm not talking about the 30 people in the back. I'm talking about the guys in first class. And knowing this AIG story, and knowing that Sully Sullenberger was paid off, because that, you know, you don't get a $3 million book deal, of which one is a book of poems.
The poems book was the giveaway. Maybe Sullenberger, that's his message to people. What can I do to at least alert people?
To alert people that I'm getting paid off. So either Sullenberger was in on it from the beginning, right, which somehow I doubt, except for his radio call. But I believe that these pilots are probably trained to call a bird strike immediately, because if you have a double engine failure, you know, that's like huge liability. I mean, that would essentially take the industry down. So there's one of two things is happening. Either Sullenberger was in on it, and this is a whole prep for the airline industry who need a massive bailout. Say, because he also went to the Senate and he did this whole thing about, well, only because guys who are as experienced as I am, you know, and our industry is going to shit. No one's paying the pilots enough. So you can see lots of people dying because Sully is not on board. So either it was a setup to prepare everyone for massive aviation bailouts, or...
Which was confirmed, by the way, by the accident that happened a few weeks later.
Which was
with
confirmed.
The amateur behind, you know, the one that crashed with, that took that one woman with it, you know, that... That Continental flight, whatever it was.
Oh, the Buffalo. Right, exactly. Yeah. So there's your confirmation. Very good, your confirmation. And they almost had that DJ guy on board to make it even more of an Amy Winehouse story. So they almost had that all set up. So, oh well, sure, these guys had low air time. You know, this is what the state of the industry is about. So it's either that, or the only other alternative is someone shot it out of the sky, and we actually are pretty lucky that this guy landed in the Hudson, and he knows it was shot out of the sky, just, you know, by nuking those two engines, however it was done. And this was his reward for not telling everybody that it wasn't a bird strike. One way or the other, the whole thing stinks.
And that's why he did the Book of Poems, because there's this poetic
no.
justice.
Have you
message.
Read his poems? They're beautiful. Anyway, there's plenty of links in the show notes of these pictures, because of course this is the interwebs. You can't hide that.
You know, it's good that you do these kinds of stories, because it sounds just crazy enough that it takes us off the radar. Because, oh brother, there he goes, and so you know, you got to be out there.
I try.
So I had some. I want to recommend people out there the PG Tips Gold.
Yes,
you know, which is really good. If you can get some of this red tea called Rusbios, it's from Red Bush, and everybody loves
that's
red Bush.
Roy Boss is the original.
Yes. Yeah. Anyway, just a tea substitute that was used in Africa by the British. They needed tea, but they couldn't find any. Anyway, if you have if you make a big cup of tea. And then you throw one of these packs of the Red Bush in with the PG Tips.
Mm-hmm.
It makes the tea, it's like a natural, it makes the tea sweet. It's really actually a
really?
Good combination.
Yeah,
check it out.
You don't get high off of it?
I don't think so.
Oh, then why bother? Oh, yes. Oh, gee. I almost forgot. We have another jingle from the fabulous Jeff Smith.
Shadow Puppet Theater.
We have another entrance into our Shadow Puppet Theater category, John.
Oh, okay. Well, tell me all about it.
Well, just so you didn't know, one of the people named to President Obama's new Task Force on Tax Reform is a member of the Board of Directors of AIG.
Oh, okay.
Shadow Puppet Theater.
Martin Feldstein, welcome to the Shadow Puppet Theater.
Getting back to that, the story about, you know, your concerns about the targeted tax and all the rest of it.
Yes.
You know, one of the things that is going on, and I actually talked about this some years ago in some columns about, at some point, you know, what's going on in Europe where they're tracking down these bankers and keying their cars and protesting out their houses and throwing bricks through the window.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the hyper wealthy, the people who live in, for example, in the San Francisco Bay Area, you'd have Hillsboro, you'd have Los Altos Hills, maybe to a lesser extent, Atherton for sure. I think there's a possibility that you have a real economic collapse, which this isn't, that people would go in there and ransack these areas. I mean, they're all in enclaves.
They could be totally ransacking where I live.
Your area is like one of these little enclaves of rich people?
Yeah, in fact, it's rich people. Yeah, by all intents and purposes, rich people, but by London standards, middle class.
It's, okay, well, they won't. You know, you want to target the. You want to go after the real rich.
So okay, so you want to go to Chelsea and Kensington, really, Notting Hill.
Yeah, right, and start throwing Molotov cocktails.
Yeah,
it could happen.
It's going to happen. This is why I'm calling for restraint, because it's the wrong people. You know, it's amazing when you see this, you know, a Geithner plan that is intended to screw us. And I was, chuckle along, no problem. Hey, eat the bankers. It's wrong. It is just fundamentally wrong. And it's because we're misguided and the government is out there pushing us towards it.
Well, before we get, I want to take a break here and talk about a couple of donors that came in this week. We're going to talk. We're going to do the call out on the $150 people in an upcoming Thursday episode. But we got two interesting donations this week. One of them for the exact amount I was talking about, 600. Only the guy took it to an extreme. This is Harry Selwood.
Hey, Harry.
He give Harry an in the morning.
In the morning.
Harry Selwood. he sent us $666.66. And I think he kind of missed the
well, you know, I, first of all, we appreciate the donation to the library.
Oh, we love it. Thank you very much,
yeah.
Harry.
But I'd almost rather you send $6,666.66, because then you'd have two times three sixes, if you can afford
right.
it.
Well, if you can't afford it, you wouldn't send it.
But then
you
do $6.66. That's cool, too. Or
yeah, it's okay.
Or you can just link to our show, or you can tell someone about it.
Subscription. Go to Dvorak.org/NA and help us out. And what's the other address you have it?
NoAgendaLibrary.com.
Okay. Now, we did get a $1,000 donation from John.
In the morning.
From who?
From John Holman.
John Holman. Wow.
So I sent, and Holman, I asked him about, he's a retired investment consultant.
Did you see his site? Because I went to the site that was listed, and it was...
It's just a picture.
Just a picture, and then four email links to each of the family members. So I had no idea. Yeah.
Used to be on Wall Street, apparently, and he's loves the show. But I sent him, I asked him about, being a hyper donor and and he sent me a NOPEC, which I think is worth reading, and I think people should listen to this.
Yeah, go for it.
So the reason to do the big donation is to get others to do the same. I certainly appreciate the offer of an in the morning, but I'm frankly ambivalent. I offered him an in the morning. You gave him one anyway.
Yeah, I gave him one.
But I'm frankly ambivalent at best about being called out by name unless it helps to get the auction mentality going amongst prospective donors. Whatever gets whatever gets other enthusiastic listeners to give, I think it's absolutely critical to have intelligent, skeptical thinking like what you and Adam deliver so consistently, entertainingly, and surprisingly. That's three. It seems like advertiser-supported media is diminishing anyway. Yes, and then he says, and then he just answers some other simple questions. But I think he makes a good point.
Very good
we
point.
Deliver a good product. People should appreciate the fact that this is extremely rare, because with the combination of you and myself is unusual.
And do you find yourself waking up and excited about the show? I, on a show day, I'm literally buzzing.
Huh. So
in the morning,
Dick.
My wife listened to the show last week.
Uh-oh, you're in trouble now. What did she say?
Has, one thing, she went on a rampage about Michelle Bachman, which is who we'll get to.
And by
the
way,
just to end this other thing, I do want to thank John Holman for the $1,000 and anyone else who wants to help us out at Dvorak.org/NA or the NoAgendaLibrary.com.
And if you send us $100,000, then you will get every show for a year, I guess it is, at least.
Yeah,
the Disinformation Minute, and we'll read your script verbatim. You get a little jingle like Jeff Smith makes for everybody. So we'll pay him for that, obviously. But I agree with it so much. We had this conversation earlier in the week that really commercialism in media always fucks it up at the end of the day. It always breaks it, and it makes it just inherently uncool.
Yeah, and the fact is, we talk about getting donations for about 2 minutes out of 100 or out of 90 minutes, which is 1 minute every 45. And typical radio, if you listen to talk radio, it's 1 minute per 2 minutes of talking.
Yeah.
So every 2 minutes, and there's a whole minute of advertising. It's ridiculous. It ruins these shows, and you have to keep switching channels. I mean, I hate it.
Yeah.
This is the reason we're asking for money, so we don't have to ever do advertising except for that 1 minute thing, which we will do. But people understand that that's never going to happen. So. And by the way, it would be a good CPM for anyone wanting to do it. So anyway.
It's a great CPM. It's just you don't get it quite delivered the way it's traditionally done.
Yeah, it's a little different. Yeah. But anyway, so anyone, we're trying to see if anyone can beat John Holman.
And we want to go to 3 days a week, and it's going to be absolutely, we're at a critical point for a 3 day a week. That we really need money to do that, because I would have to give up other things for sure. And I know you would, John.
Yeah. So anyway, so my wife listens to the tunes in, and she hears the Michelle Bachman stuff,
yeah.
And so she goes kind of nuts. And so she did a whole bunch of research on it. She, by the way, she said to me, "Well, I'm glad to see that you're as rude with Adam as you are with the family."
Oh, that means I take that as a huge compliment.
Who's rude.
I take that as a huge compliment. So you are actually
I'm taking it as a complete insult because you're the one that's rude. You don't get my jokes. You know, you're just
what are you talking about? What do you mean I don't get your jokes? The funny just ones, saying. I laugh. I get them. I just don't laugh at all of them.
Hmm. So anyway, I don't know, where am I rude? I'm not getting this.
Well, at home you're apparently rude.
Well, she says I'm rude on the show too. Am I rude? You say, "Oh, there he is. He's rude, that guy."
Well, no, if you're rude to me,
rude mean?
I don't take it personally. I don't take it personally. That's for sure. If you're being rude to me, no problem here.
I don't intend to be rude to anybody. I mean, I find the whole assertion to be dubious. Maybe, you know, I don't know. Maybe she's hypersensitive. I never knew this about the woman.
God, this is a great show. It's actually changing your life. I find that exhilarating.
Yeah, I'm getting enlightened.
So I have not, okay, so I have not met Mimi, nor have you met Patricia. So, but we still have a wife swap show in mind.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Michelle Bachman. So I did my research as well.
I get to start this. Let me go.
Okay.
Starts with the guy. This is what triggered. I was talking to my wife, and I said, "Well, this guy sent us his note." And this, then she went, my wife loves going online and doing tons of research, so she got a million links, which I'll send to you.
I can just see me being, Viagra. Mm-hmm. She's doing research. I'm doing research.
John!
Christopher Hsu sends us this note. And I argued when I was talking to my wife that this guy, he's just obviously a knee jerk who's just, you know, just spewing this hatred to Michelle without any attribution. So my wife went and got the attribution. But let me just read this. "I was listening to your last No Agenda show in my car driving down one of the many potholed roads in Minnesota."
Minnesota.
When you talked about Michelle Bachman, I nearly drove my car off the road. Michelle Bachman is a shill for the Republican Party and is batshit crazy. This woman was running practically uncontested for her representative seat last year. She decides that a good political move was to go on Hardball and suggest that Barack Obama was a terrorist. She nearly lost her seat to a guy named Tinkleberg. The woman has quite a few screws loose. I think there are better pickings for Adam to have his MILF obsessions over. Otherwise, good show and keep up the good work. Sincerely.
In the morning.
All right, so let me respond to this. So I really knew nothing about Michelle Bachman other than this one piece of video where she's questioning the Secretary of the Treasury and of the Fed, Bernanke, the chairman of the Federal Reserve, about the Geithner plan, which she nailed right on the money, saying, "Hey, the taxpayer is going to be responsible for 90% of this, and they don't get 90% of the upside. Can you confirm?" And of course, she was cut off by Barney Frank.
No more questions, Tommy.
And in that particular shot, I have to say, she looks really, really good and milfy. Her hair is done differently. When she has her hair down, she looks kind of witchy, I have to say. But anyway, that's regardless. She did a little bit of that. That's irrespective of that. So this woman, I could be married to her. And I looked at the Keith Olbermann, the countdown piece, you know, what she was doing was repeating things that we've discussed on this show, but she was doing it in a way that people categorize me as a crackpot. That's why she's saying the exact same things. In fact, I put a whole bunch of links in to there's actually a radio interview that she did, and you know she's completely on to the climate change scam. You want to hear that for a second? Just the where she debunks climate change. You can get an idea of how she talks. It'll just take me a second. I got to forward to like
John. Thank you, Brian the Elder.
I got to forward to she goes on radio shows. She has a site. She calls herself a foreign correspondent. I love this woman. And the things that, you know, if you really listen to what she's saying, it's exactly the same stuff people call me a crackpot for. Here we go. Listen to this about climate change.
To breathe, are we?
Well, this will be for the purchase of energy. You're exactly right, because human activity only puts about between 3 to 5% carbon dioxide into the atmosphere. The bulk of carbon dioxide is produced naturally from the ocean.
So she's saying things that we talk about all the time. She's onto the Give Act. She says it exactly the same way. But let's not forget, A, she's a woman. B, she's an attractive woman. She's a Republican, which is really, really the problem. But I like what she stands for. And if she does her hair right and she pulls out that little Minnesota accent, man, it just, it makes me completely love her. And she's no more crackpot than I am. She's just labeled that way by, clearly from your email, an overzealous, out-of-control Obama bot.
Here's the thing that bothers me about her. I'm not disagreeing with any of this except for the fact that she seems to be a stooge for the credit card companies. She's gone out of her way to support all their abuses. She's done nothing to stop it. Every time a bill comes out, including a bill that just passed the House of Representatives, which does very little more than saying you can't continue to gouge the customers. In fact, there was an anti-gouging bill she voted against. And if you start looking, if you go to Open Secrets and take a look, in fact, I sent you the links that my wife came up with. Mm-hmm. If you go to Open Secrets and see who's been funding her, you find out that it's, finance and insurance companies.
Sure.
And
Well, so in that regard, she's just as evil as our president.
Yeah, but I mean, it's not somebody I'm going to fall all over myself for. But at the same time, I do think she's getting beat up too much. And I obviously, she's kind of an old fashioned. I don't see how she's a shill for the Republican Party. I mean, what?
No, she is.
I'm not getting that.
At least she has a consistent message. And on top of that, she has introduced a bill that would ban a global currency. I've got to like the woman because she didn't get a straight. Well, she got a very straight answer from Geithner and from Bernanke when she asked them point blank, are you going to introduce a world or would you accept a world currency? No, categorically deny it. Then Geithner, the next day, is at the Council of Foreign Relations. Why on earth he needs to go there other than because they actually control him? And he does a speech and he says, oh, we're open to it. Yeah, all options are on the table. So she's right. No one's clean. No one's exactly right on the money. But to call this woman a kook and a nut job is unfair because she is saying a lot of very sensible things. And I believe that she might have just woken up all of a sudden. Has she been doing this forever?
I remember seeing her just occasionally, but now that she's got the spotlight turned on her, I mean, Olbermann, if anybody, has given her the spotlight, and Olbermann, who's a raving lunatic.
He's a true lunatic, absolutely.
Oh, it's unbelievable. In fact, Rachel Maddow looks like, a conservative Republican by comparison, and she must just be loving Olbermann's, constant pontificating and going over the top, because she's going to end up taking over that spot, and she'll throw him under the bus in a minute. She's just a classic broadcasting person, and, she's got her own show now. She used to be part of Olbermann's show.
She used to do a bit. Somehow, now she comes out after him, doesn't she?
Yeah, and she's the only one. She was interesting because I remember listening to Air America occasionally. I listen to both everything. I mean, I'm not like
you're
some
a radio guy. You're a radio guy.
To that.
No, you're a radio
I'm
guy. Radio.
I'm listening to these guys. I would listen to Air America, and some of the worst stuff was on that network. It was like, oh my God, are you kidding me? There's all touchy feely stuff and new age crap and all kinds of bull. And she would come on. It was like she was just a hardcore political commentator. She was obviously a hyper liberal and a lesbian who's out. So there's no, you can't accuse her of anything.
Well, hold on. And let's give her a little a lesbian out in the morning.
In the morning.
She's a lesbian, and there's no qualms about it, and she has a very strong, but she's solid. I mean, she's a solid broadcaster, and when I first heard her, I said, wow, this is, why don't they just give her the whole network? She's the only one on there that's worth a crap because she was a good broadcaster. Everybody else was just amateur hour. And so then she somehow sneaks onto Olbermann's show before the last elections. And I saw seeing her. So I never saw her before because I only heard her on the radio. I said, oh, that's an interesting person. But she had the problem. I thought, as a TV person, she has a smirk that's really annoying. I thought that she wasn't going to cut. She's cut the smirk out a little bit, but she can't quite get rid of it because it's almost like it's part of her face. And so,
like the Joker. She's like the Joker.
Exactly. So they played around with her look a little bit so she doesn't look quite so extreme. And she comes off as a normal person after you listen to Olbermann, who is just he's angry. He's just hates
something.
Well,
that's his shtick. That's his shtick. So one more thing about – two more things about Bachman. So in this – in the New York Times, actually, a link to it, of course, in our show notes – Michelle Bachman says she wants Minnesotans to be armed and dangerous for opposition to cap and trade. I mean, she's calling for arms. I love this woman. I just love her. I love her. I love her. I love you, Minnesota MILF.
But the guy's going off the road again.
But what's interesting is that so she really caught some traction with this anti global currency bill. So immediately they turn on the harp machine and they give Minnesota and the Dakotas the worst weather in the world. They're not. They're now making. They're.
This is
they're turning
us from being
it's
shot.
H A A R P. It's harp. And by the way, yesterday the protests in London. There was. I have not heard thunder like that in years in London. These guys turned on the harp machine and rained on their parades.
That's from being assassinated. This is great stuff.
Where do you think the phrase "rain on your parade" comes from? From the evil Uberlords, because they turn on harp. They can completely control the weather. I might want to remind you, by the way, that on September 11th, 2001, right off the coast of New York, was a gigantic, gigantic hurricane. Right after the planes, so-called planes, kind of so-called, flew into the buildings and they collapsed, the storm went away. You can see the radar images. It was the size of Katrina. Anyway, so they control the weather, and now they're messing with her.
They control the weather. But thank you very much, Adam. That saves the bacon for us.
You like
There's
that,
no
huh?
way that they're going to put the bomb in the plane. We got it made.
Don't look over here.
Nothing to see here.
Ooh, look at that.
That is the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
Jeff Smith is awesome. Let me just run through a couple things.
I wasn't talking about that, but that's another story.
Oh, just
so,
me?
Okay, so Where were we before you went on this?
Michelle Bachman and the weather and the harp HARP. Google it.
I mean, anyone's ever been online has run into this bull.
It's right next to Goatsy.
It is Goatsy.
All right, can I just run through a couple of Gitmo Nation stories since we're nearing the end? And by the way, I'm gonna repeat the show on the stream from the server, and so people want to listen to it before the podcast is downloadable. I have no idea. You know what's happening is this service that I'm paying for is just overloading. The stream is out of control. Thousands of people trying to grab this stream, and I think that they don't have me on the right account or whatever. But it looks like
well, let's call them out. What's the name of this company that's ripping you off?
Primcast. Primcast.com. Papa Romeo India Mike Charlie Alpha Sierra Tango. Primcast. It's a bummer because I pay a lot of money, you know, because it's a bummer.
So we're doing music. I decided to do some. I'm going to do some shows.
Let me mention this. So the stream, which of course runs 24/7, except for now when we're doing the actual highlight of the week. John put together an awesome show, about an hour and a half, I think it was.
Almost 2 hours, actually, 1:56.
Holy crap! I wonder if I got the whole thing. Anyway, it's called the Dvorak Interlude, and it's in rotation now. It repeats, I think, so it plays, and then there's 3 hours of regular playlist, and then it goes back, so you can probably catch it. And I'll leave it in that rotation for a bit. I'm hoping you're going to come up with another show for us, John, because I was blown away. I mean, you played The Who, but you also played Ian Jury and the Blockheads. My goodness, I was like, whoa, you've got some chops, man. It was really good. And you sounded almost like one of those classic rock guys on WNEW where, you know, there's no sweepers, no music, and it's like, hey, everybody. You did do it like, I think I did it. Hey, everybody. I got to get you some jingles. Hey, everybody, it's Dvorak here sitting in for the big Adam Curry.
In the morning.
And I got some songs for you. It was good. I loved it.
Oh, good. Well, we'll see what you think of the next one when I bring in some surfer music.
Ooh. Well, you played the Contours. Got a lot of comments about that. That was good. And of course, you know, we're tracking everything, so we'll pay our ASCAP BMI fees. You can only really do that legally on a web stream, by the way. There's no other way to do it legally. And It's not a money making proposition. I can tell you that. There's no way you can make money. No, but there's no way you can make money. You got to. It's a reasonable.
It's a public service. That's why we have the NoAgenda Library.com and Dvorak.org/NA for people who like this sort of thing. And actually, when we get that thing completely loaded up with material, which it'll be very entertaining.
And there's some good. We got some presidential speeches on there running from time to time. We got some poetry, slam poetry. It is. It's getting good.
You also have the mechanism where people can leave a tweet. And then it gets put on the stream.
That's right. If you, anything you tweet to No Agenda Stream will come back and be read by a robot voice, by Alex, the robot voice, within like 10 or 15 minutes, sometimes a little sooner. So anyway, I'll put this show on the stream because I can just see that it's skipping and it's sucking. And I'm sorry, everybody. Quick rundown of Gitmo Nation stuff.
Go.
U.S. Marshal found dead in Mexican canal. Okay. Spy database to monitor your every move on Facebook and MySpace. Doesn't fancy you? No?
No. I think it's disturbing. And, of course, the Mexican thing, the war with Mexico that's going on.
That's why I mentioned it. Yeah, it's escalating. And
we'll have to...
Someone mentioned to me... It was an article somewhere that, you know, the President Obama said, you know, we have to stop, illegal guns flowing into Mexico is total horse crap, because if you're in Mexico, it's like these are unmarked, non-serialized, not that they've been rubbed off or anything. They just are unserialized guns like M16s, AK-47s, you know, guns that you cannot buy in the United States. They're coming from China or somewhere where they make... ripoffs, I guess. Knockoff guns must be a big business. Next Bilderberg meeting is scheduled to be in Athens, 14th through the 16th of May. That's always fun. And the big news, which I'm surprised you didn't bring up, John, is it seems we're uncovering what ACTA is all about. This is the... I keep forgetting what the acronym stands for, but it's the intellectual property law that is being written globally and is so incredibly important to our homeland security that it must be kept a secret by our transparent government. So apparently it's all about the right, and it will become kind of like a constitutional right for the government to look into your computer. Or iPod or any other device, and you've got to believe that it's something that's going to be baked in at the manufacturing end. And of course, this sparks a huge debate whether that is legal or not.
Does it really?
Well, no. Unfortunately, no one gives a shit, and they just
you go. Yeah. Now you get.
Don't look over here.
Nothing to see here.
Ooh, look at that.
More about the volunteerism. That MySpace Facebook thing is kind of interesting. You should definitely take a look at that. There's also a fantastic site that I found, John. I'd like you to take a look.
So they arrested some 14-year-old girl.
For posting naked pictures, yeah. They arrested her under child pornography laws.
Yeah, she's apparently a pornographer, 14 years old, taking her own pictures. And they weren't even like pictures of sex or anything. I mean, it seems porn now is just a picture of a girl in a bikini.
Well, were they naked pictures or bikini pictures?
No, they were semi-nude. I guess there was a couple of tits showing or something. I don't know.
Because she wanted her boyfriend to see it. That's why she put him online,
right?
Yeah, right. But she was actually arrested. She was actually arrested.
Yeah, arrested. And they're threatening her with being a sex offender. She's a danger to society.
When I was 13, 14, I was out there showing my bits to other girls, and they were showing me their bits. You know,
you're obviously a pervert.
A pervert. There's somewhere, I heard the news coming through on the No Agenda stream, and I don't know where it was, but somewhere there's a preschool that has a no-touching rule.
Yeah, no, it was a regular school.
It was a regular school? No touching rule. You're not allowed to touch anyone.
Yeah, I think it was in Jersey or something. We actually
no, not in Jersey. Can't. Please tell me it wasn't in Jersey.
It was someplace where I have to look it up, but it's on the blog. We blogged it. And it's like, you can't do high fives, you can't give hugs, you can't shake hands, you can't touch. And it stems back, and this is typical of these. This is, again, an example of this, you know, go by the book jerk-offs that are out there, you know, everything, you know, zero tolerance. Apparently it stems from the fact that, and I don't know how this qualifies as touching, but it stems from the fact that one student apparently just took out, with all his might, kicked another student in the nuts.
Which, by the way, has happened to me so many times.
Well, that's probably why your voice is so high. But anyway,
I laughed at one of your dumb jokes. Are you happy now?
Yes. So because of this, somebody kicking somebody in the balls as hard as they can and hospitalizing him, which is what I wonder about. Now there's no touching. You can't touch. You can't pat somebody on the back. You can't. What is it? What kind of maniacs are running these schools?
It's little people who'd like to be politicians. You know, little feuders. Do you see that map that I just sent you? This is just a great map to look at.
Let's see.
This is the RSOE EDIS. It's the alert map for hazards globally, and it's clickable. So you see you see on the left up there, there's a little red icon, biological hazard in the United States as of March 29th, 03/51/56. You click on it. And it shows we have a biological hazard in the state of Vermont. And then you can go to the event description. And the state's leading bat biologist updated. And it's a red warning. Updated
residents. What's this thing over by Alaska that's blinking as though there's an earthquake in progress?
Oh, shit. Oh, hold on a second. Oh,
yes, a seismic quake.
Oh, my goodness. There's a blink.
2.7.
Wait, there's a volcano eruption here.
Oh, that's the volcano.
Yeah, we knew that was happening.
Okay.
But how about
now, I'm looking at the red one. It says epidemic in the United States on 329.
Right.
Which
that's Vermont.
No, that's the biological hazard. This is the epidemic.
Where's that? Where's that? Where's the red?
It's right next to it.
Oh, it's green.
No, it's the red one. You're looking at the green one. The green one is
epidemic.
The biological hazard.
Yeah. Oh, the red one is the epidemic.
This is the state of Pennsylvania.
So we have an epidemic event description. Officials in Northern Pennsylvania School District are trying to find the cause of an illness that has affected some 200 elementary school pupils. Officials... Oh, man. Hold on a second.
It's probably Noro.
And now, back to real news.
Officials say one of three of the 603 students was stricken on Friday. About half the sick children stayed home. The rest were sent home after falling ill in school. They do not believe it was a case of food poisoning or water contamination. State health officials...
What was
norovirus.
The description of the... Description. What did they do? They throw up?
It doesn't say that.
What was it?
Don't look over here.
Nothing to see here.
Ooh, look at that.
I don't know what it was.
You love that one.
I do. I also like the
Shadow Puppet Theater.
That has to be one of my favorites as well.
Driving some people off the way from the show.
I don't think so. Okay,
I like that map. That map needs to be posted on the show notes.
Yes, it is in the show notes at noagenda.mevio.com. And we have a new one coming. We got a Squarespace site that we've got to configure. Did you get the details? Have you asked maybe Eric to do something for us? Now that we have a budget to pay someone to do something? Because that's what this library fund is for, right? I mean,
we got to do something with it. Okay, ready?
Yes.
I got a letter from a guy, Towson's his name. He doesn't have any other name. After JFK read Jefferson's notes from Dining Alone, he signed an executive order that the Federal Reserve Bank should be assigned back to the people of the United States, as Andrew Jackson had done before him. Kennedy was promptly assassinated.
Oh, this is Nefera?
How big are the bonuses to the banks and the individuals? I don't know what it is. Huh. I'm just reading a letter.
I'm sorry.
Who own our bank. Our bank. Rumors are that these bonuses are approaching $1 trillion a year. Why is a list of ownership of the Federal Reserve banks not disclosed to anyone or their bonuses? Let me try to give you the idea. And he goes on and on with these debts. And he's got big numbers like you're talking. 60 trillion. So, you know.
You mean my 1.2 quadrillion number, you mean?
It's getting there.
Yeah. Well, so he's asking about the Federal Reserve, which, of course, is what you really should be doing is burning down the Federal Reserve. The Central Bank of the United States is the Federal Reserve. That's the one you should be burning down. The central banks in general are
it's made out of brick.
Okay. Then bazooka that thing if you have to.
It's made out of stone.
And that's what Ron Paul, Congressman Ron Paul, is doing with his audit the Fed bill, which is, I think, H.R. 1220 or 1225.
You think that's going to pass?
Well, he's got 32 co-sponsors, you know. It's the fact that you even say it that way, John, the fact that you even are so skeptical, and of course you know that our government is bought and paid for and that stuff like that will never get through, that shows how complacent we are as a population. We're just letting him do it. Yeah, we give him a little hurdle from time to time. Yeah, we might throw, you know, break your windows or whatever. But at the end of the day, we're just, ooh, you broke my window.
Okay, let me go. Let's go to the Bahamas for the weekend. Go ahead, break them.
Exactly.
You're insured by AIG.
No worries. Oh, man. So I'm really sorry about the stream. That's too bad. That kind of sucked. Do we have any other business? Seeing as we have no agenda, it's hard to remember stuff that we always say we're going to do.
Let me see if there's anything left over from last week.
I think there was something you had.
Well, I don't know.
I know you had the clip of the Mexican clip. I still have to save that.
Yeah, we can save that for some other
time. We'll save it.
We could have gone a little bit more into the fact that during for this week, we can do this next week, that the protesters would be for jobs, justice, and climate, which makes it, you know, if you're losing your job and you're a union guy, you would probably not, you would associate this climate business with losing your job, not something you'd want. I mean, it makes no sense. So we have to talk about that with some more details.
So what clearly is coming next is, what's her name? The vegetarian winner?
Oh, yeah, her.
She'll become a poster child. You watch.
The vegetarian women.
Yeah, I forgot her name.
Fear Factor.
Olga, Ulrika.
Yeah, whatever her name is.
The one who was too weak to stand. John, I could talk for hours, but that would mean we're almost doing three shows a week, so.
Global currency. No, I don't think there's really anything that we're backed up on.
Okay.
We'll catch it on Thursday.
Yes.
Whatever it is.
Thursday this week, right?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Coming to you from the Southwest Quadrant of Gitmo Nation East in the Crackpot Command Center, my name is Adam Curry.
And from Buzzkill Bunker in the Silicon Valley North, Gitmo Nation West, or the Gitmo Nation, I'm John C. Dvorak.
And we will talk to you again on Thursday right here on No Agenda.